Walking in the light we have is absolutely vital to understanding in every area.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and guest Keith Moore as they conclude this week's teaching, Walking in the Fullness of God's Light and Staying in His Love. Learn how to walk in the same light that Jesus walked in every day of your life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Today is a vitally important day. Let me remind you of something. The word from heaven for this year is, whatever you compromise to keep, you will lose it. Amen. And everything's going to be all right. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We don't need to be compromising. You are our power and strength. You're alive. We don't have to compromise. We grow in you. We have your power and your presence, your name and your blood and your spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Keith, this has been powerful 2 weeks, man.
The Lord's helped us.
Yeah. There's been so much come out of this. A lot of things that have stirred me that had drifted away from my thinking, that you reach out there and get that and put it back into place.
Yep.
And answers to situations and things that come from concentration on the light of the Word of God, and it begins to shine light on something that you've forgotten all about, or maybe hadn't even realized was there.
Yeah.
But you think, wow, that's part of this, that and so forth and so on. And I want to thank you for it before we get any further, because it has really ministered to me.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Amen. Let's go back in here and get
We've been in 1 John 1 all these 2 weeks, and if we could read it again in verse 5, he said, "This is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we do have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin."
Praise God.
There are two things I had strong in my heart about the broadcast today, and that is the hindrance of not walking in the light that we have, and then the glorious availability of walking in the light 24/7 like Jesus did when he was on the earth.
Now, Keith, most people don't have any idea you can even do that.
It's available to us, Brother Kenneth, and it is a life so radically different than most people live. It just sounds too good to be
now,
true.
Religious correctness will tell you, the moment you say that, that's some kind of blasphemous idea that you could be like Jesus. I mean, he walked in these things, but you're just a dirty old sinner.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's the reason he came, was to provide not only the light to walk in, but the spiritual ability through the new birth and through the baptism of the Holy Ghost to walk in it.
Yes, sir.
The ability to walk in it.
Absolutely. The scripture says, right in this book, he says, "He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked."
And as he is, so are we in this world. That's right there in that fourth chapter.
Light. Light.
Wow.
But the question is, why are so many believers living so far below this? And how can we attain to it? And I was reminded of 2 Timothy 3, if we could go there. 2 Timothy 3 describes a condition that many believers find themselves in today. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and down about verse 5, he's talking about individuals that have a form of godliness, mm-hmm. but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort of person that they believe in a form of religion, but don't talk about the reality of power in your life, or the reality of walking in the light like Jesus did. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And here's the phrase, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are individuals in the body of Christ that are ever learning, but they still are in struggling with the same issues and problems that was defeating them 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And they go to conference after conference. They get tape series after tape series and are continually learning, but not able to come into the living knowledge and operation of this truth. The very next verse says, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Right. Well, if you're resisting the truth, you're not walking in the light. That'd be the opposite of walking in the light.
And that has to be men of corrupt mind and reprobate and so forth. That has to be in direct relationship to the commandment to the church, which is not a suggestion, it's mm-hmm. a commandment. Mm-hmm. Do you believe on the name of His Son Jesus and love one another? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Brother Keith, you don't know what them folks did to me. Mm-hmm. Now, you're resisting the truth right there when you did
exactly.
that, aren't you?
Exactly.
Now, next thing you know, you're going to be resisting the fellow that preached that you ought to forgive him.
Right. Well, James says, if you're a hearer of the word, but not a doer,
yes, sir.
That you deceive your own self.
Self-deceived.
And so that's this condition is being described of ever learning, but not able to come into
that.
The knowledge.
I see that.
Then a person is looking for the answer 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, still looking for the answer, learning, but why can't I get it? Why can't I get it? And this is a self-deceived position. It is a result of rejection, of resisting of truth, failing to walk in light that one received back there those 10, 15,
wow.
20 years ago. And you see a picture of it in Luke, if we could go there.
Have you talked to people, I know you have, that and they're sitting there telling you what they'd like for you to pray about.
Yeah.
And you're hearing this, this is something that must have happened just in the last few days, and you're hearing this and you're ready to pray. Come find out it happened 25 years ago.
Right.
But when I hear them tell it, it sounds like it happened then the last day and a half, 2 days. Because in their minds, it's present tense.
Well, the condition of their heart is present tense.
That's right.
Yeah. They didn't do what they knew they should do. They're still in that condition of offense.
It's like no time has gone by.
Mm-hmm. They're still in that same place.
Man, I see that, Keith.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
But what happens, you do that long enough, you become deceived. Now, deceived means you're not pretending a certain thing or way. You believe it's that way, but you're believing a lie. You're believing something, and that puts you in a place of darkness where that's why people are continually trying to get it, but can't come to it. You see a picture of it in Luke 6. In Luke 6, he's talking about not judging. And he gives this illustration of a person who judges. In Luke 6, 36 or so, he said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." And that has to do with what you're talking about, forgiving, letting things go. Verse 37, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall forgive." Now, another way of saying that is walk in the light, and you'll stay in the light. You walk. You know you should forgive. Forgive, and you will walk in forgiveness. Walk in the light, and you'll stay in the light.
I see that. Wow.
Now, he goes on to say, down in verse 41, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in your own eye? Either how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that's in your eye,' when you yourself beholdest not the beam that is in your own eye? You hypocrite." Now, hypocrite means you're violating light. There's dishonesty here. "You hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye." Now, the Lord brought me to this passage in teaching on this subject. And he brought to my thinking, how can you be oblivious to a beam in your eye? Hadn't thought about that before. The word beam has to do with a big piece of timber. I mean, something as big as a plank or
supporting
something.
Supporting piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A big piece of timber. How can you be oblivious that you've got a 4x4 over one side of your head? But here is a person who is looking at another person, and there's a splinter on their face, and they are giving them instruction and judging them as splinter face, and they got this beam. And they have gotten to the place where they are acting like there is no beam there.
They don't even see it, do they?
But they're deceived. And the reason being, when a 4x4 comes over your face, there's no way you don't know that.
Well, that's it.
There's
my
no
goodness.
Way that you are not aware that a 4x4 is over your face. But here's the thing. If you let it stay there, and you let it stay there, and you let it stay there, you can get used to anything.
You'll adjust.
And over reason of time, you've seen it so long, it's been there so long, until it's just a part of your normal world and consciousness, until you don't see it anymore. And you're deceived into thinking it's okay.
You'll go to the doctor and try to get him to drill a hole through that thing so you can see. I mean, it's just...
And this has happened over and over again. How do I get free from that, Brother Keith? Well, acknowledging of the truth. And if you get to seeking the Lord earnestly about it, don't try to tell Him, "I'm fellowshipping with the Lord, everything's great between us," and yet you're in darkness. You're in confusion and ignorance and all this stuff. No, you're lying. There's some light you violated back here. And what you need to do is go, me, you, whoever, put your nose on the carpet and say, "God, anything that you showed me that I didn't do it, I knew to do it, but I put it aside, have mercy on me. Show me again. Bring it to my repentance." And people will be praying, "Lord, what is it? What is it? Whatever it is, if you'll just show me. God, if you just let me know, oh, please, Lord, if I could just see it, you know, help me, Lord." But see, if this is here for 20 years,
yeah,
you get used to this.
Yeah, you've lived with it.
And you've learned to talk around it, and it just seems a normal part of life. But if by the grace of God, one day you'll go, "Whoa, this has been here for 15 years. Exactly. And that's why you have been ever learning all that time, kept on trying to find it, trying to find it, trying to get it, and never able to come to it.
Now, you said a big thing that needs to be touched on. Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes.
Talk about that, Keith. That's such a huge part of this. Condemnation ain't going to change this.
No. The Lord doesn't want you in condemnation. There's just death and destruction in it. Mercy, because you don't deserve it. He showed it to you. And you saw it clearly. Like we said, there's no way you don't have a beam on your face and not know it. There was a time in your life where you probably went for days, weeks, maybe months, acutely aware of this thing. But you kept pushing it back, kept pushing it back, kept pushing it down until if you're not a doer of the word, if you don't walk in the light of what you know and have, you deceive yourself. And so at that point, the Lord gave that light to other people and they walked in it. He gave it to you and you treated it like it didn't matter. It was insignificant. So you need to ask for mercy. Lord, I should have walked in it. Have mercy on me. Show me again,
please.
He's
free with mercy.
Oh.
You don't have to beg him out of it. He's free with it.
He wants you to see it, and he will show you again. But now, you got to be willing. You got to mean business with him. Because when he does show you, you don't want to do it again. You know, because we don't have 20 and 30 years to waste going around like this. And so, the least bit of unwillingness will be a wall between you and him. There's some things he won't even talk to you about because he knows you're not willing to do it still. I know one day the Lord had been dealing with me about some changes in ministry. And I felt like I was real busy and just didn't. When you don't want something to be the Lord, you can play games with it and think, well, was that the Lord? Or is that just me? And try to push it aside. And I didn't realize I had done that for months now, and there were some other areas I'm asking the Lord about some provision and saying wasn't working. And see, I'm in darkness. I'm wondering, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? And I remember just sitting in my chair at the house one day when nobody was there but me, and that came back up in me about making those changes in ministry is going to require more involvement on my part. And I said, Lord, forgive me. That's you. I know that's you. Yes, sir. You want me to do that? I will do it. And just like that, he said, now I'm going to talk to you about this. That other area that I had been searching for and didn't have I didn't know they were connected. But my unwillingness in this area was blinding me from my light and direction in this area. He said, now I'm going to talk to you about this. This will happen. This will happen. It'll just stop being an issue and problem. Walking in the light we have is absolutely vital to understanding in every area. The Bible said if any man wills to do his will, he will know whether the doctrine is of God, what's of God and what's not. The clarity. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Can you picture Jesus any day in his ministry talking to the disciples and go, boys, I just don't know what to do. I'm at a place where I don't know where to go preach. And I don't, let me bounce this up. Does this doctrine sound right to you? I'm just not sure.
That's ludicrous, if you think it.
Can you picture? But now here's the thing. He operated just like me and you.
Yeah.
The Bible said he laid aside his mighty weight and power and glory. He's not operating in omniscience, in the all-knowing power of God. He had to learn the scriptures as a child. And yet the Bible describes him operating in a knowing. The Bible said he knew their thoughts. He told his disciples, I must go preach in this place today. He knew this. He knew his time was come. He knew everything had been fulfilled. He lived every day in this knowing. What that is full light. He walked, because to be pondering and struggling and I just don't know and I wonder and do you think that's all right? That's darkness.
That's darkness.
It's darkness.
Because you can't see it.
Right. You're not seeing stuff. You're not seeing it clearly. And people would think, like you said earlier, oh, well, Brother Keith, that's Jesus. I mean, yes, but he did it as a man. And he said, the things I do, if you believe on me, the works you'll do also. And if you believe on him, you are to walk just as he walked. He walked in the full light, always knowing, always this confidence and surety. In my own life, I haven't walked in the fullness of that light. But there's been times that I walked in it more than others.
Yeah, me too.
And there's been times, from the time I got up in the morning, I just knew what to do. I knew, I'm not asking anybody, I don't need to. I know where to go, I know the answer to this, mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. And the more I walk close with Him and in fellowship with Him, the Scripture says you have an unction. You have an anointing of the Holy One, and you know all things. That doesn't mean we're omniscient. It just means that knowing, that light is flowing in us, and everything we need to know, we're knowing.
That's the ministry and leadership of the Holy Ghost.
It is. And it's available. He said He will lead you into all the truth. He will guide you. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. He'll show you things to come. That's living in a supernatural knowing.
Praise God.
Being enlightened night and day. And so much more is available to us than what we've walked in. And I can see three things in the life of Jesus, why He walked that way, that we must embrace if we're going to walk that way. One, He was completely knowledgeable of the written Word.
Yeah.
And He walked in the light of the written Word without fail. If you walk in the light of the Word, you're going to walk in light. And then secondly, He prayed a lot. And He communed with the Father. And He walked in the light, which leads to the third part. Everything He heard the Father say, He said. Everything He saw the Father do and do through Him, He did. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He never failed to do what the Father told Him to do. And because of that, He had no darkness in Him. No confusion, no ignorance. Now, He didn't walk in omniscience, but everything He needed to know at any given time, He knew it.
And you talked about it there a minute ago, 16th chapter of John. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will glorify me.
Mm-hmm.
He will take what is mine.
Yep.
And show it unto you. But then He said, all that the Father has is mine, and I say again, He'll take what's mine and show it unto you.
Mm.
Keith, that's mind-boggling. That all that the Father has, well, He's talking about all that the Father has for me,
mm-hmm.
He'll show it unto me.
Yeah.
Everything I ever need to know day by day by day by day.
Yes.
He will do it.
Yes.
But not without you commit to do what He shows you to do.
It is so simple, but people are missing it right. And we've all messed up in these areas.
Oh, man.
But,
absolutely.
But that is why so many are so confused and so ignorant and so stumbling around and hunting and searching. But the big error is when folks say, well, yeah, but I'm doing everything I know to do and I just don't know why it's like this. That's the lie. That's what the Scripture said in 1 John. If you say you're fellowshipping with Him, but you're walking in darkness, He said you're lying. You're lying because you're not doing the truth. You're not doing everything you know to do. Because if you did, it would clear up. You'd just know the next step and you'd take it and that'd lead you.
It wouldn't have to be a whole lot of stuff.
No.
And it had to be something that you already know.
Exactly.
Because if it wasn't, you're irresponsible for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
My goodness.
And walking in the light that you have.
And the clock's run out on us again. Glory to God. Brother Keith and I will be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the Branson Victory Campaign, the 3rd through 5th of March at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Now remember that Friday is always the offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And the Lord said to me years ago to stand on Galatians 6. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. The word of the Lord came to me there a moment ago about your offering today. To sow it according to Philippians 2:13. Now listen to this. It is God who worketh in you both. Two things. One, to will. Mm-hmm. Now, you weren't willing to do it before. That's what got you into trouble. That's the reason you didn't do it. It didn't look right. You didn't want to do it. And, mm-hmm. and you worked on it and didn't will at it until you got it pushed down. Both to will, I'm willing to be willing.
Yep.
And to do.
To do.
His good pleasure.
That's right.
He'll show you how to do it. But to do comes after to will.
After willing. Yes, sir.
So, I'm doing this today myself. I'm sowing and believing God, and my seed is reaping the harvest of the knowledge of His will, Colossians chapter 1. And, oh, glory. To will. I'm willing to be willing. And how to do this thing.
Thank you.
Oh, glory to God. It's done in my heart,
Thank
in
you,
my
Father.
Mind, and Thank I'm you, sowing Father. Seed toward it, and I'll reap the harvest of Philippians 2:13. Glory be
so
to
be
God. It. Then do all things without murmuring. Okay, that's what I'm believing for, is to quit griping about it and murmuring. Go on, mow the yard, boy. Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. We pray over these offerings today and the people as they sow and the release of increase in its anointing all over this world, everywhere people are in the sound of my voice. And we give you the praise and the honor.
Thank you, Father.
And the glory for it.
Thank
we're
you,
willing to be willing, and we're willing to do.
Yes.
And we thank you for our deliverance and freedom.
Yes.
Know the truth, and the truth made us free.
Glory to God.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Keith, for coming. What a 2 weeks this has been.
My privilege.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you next time. I'll tell you, you know what to do. Go to church this weekend and either start a revival or a riot one. Amen. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries' prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.